Let's go. After the miraculous exodus from the land and hand of the Egyptians, Moses led the children of Israel through the wilderness. Say it with me. For how many years? 40 years. Now, last week we saw the Red Sea situation. We saw that Moses needed a miracle. What do you do when the Egyptians are behind you and the Red Sea's in front of you? You need a miracle. When there's nothing you can't do, then God will have to do it. We saw that last week. They made it through it. For 39 years, this man Moses led these crazy people. That's why we call him the greatest leader of all time, humanly speaking. If you knew the millions that he had to lead, and the complaining and the whining and what they did, and he's having to listen to God and lead the people, he was a phenomenal leader. And so we've been looking at him for some leadership tips, and we're going to see something else today. Now, most of the older generation that had gone through the Red Sea died. Why'd they die? Because of a lack of faith and trust in God. Specifically, look back. They failed to take the promised land when Joshua and Caleb said they could. They believed the bad report of how many? Somebody tell me. 10 instead of believing the good report of who? And so often we're just that way. We're not leaders. We listen to 10, and 10 can be wrong, and 2 can be right, but we follow the 10. Oh yeah, the 10 must be right. I'm learning in my life the majority ain't always right. Are y'all listening, yes or no? Okay? What's right is right. Whether 10 saying it or 2 saying it. And so God judged them because they wouldn't listen to the two faithful men, Caleb and Joshua. They listened to 10 whiners. 10 people who were fearful. And we might have been the same way as those 10. But God judged them because of it. Let's look at some scriptures. Just a little background. Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once. We can possess the promised land. We're able to overcome it." But the men that went up with him said, "We be not able to go up against the people, for they're stronger than we are." And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, "The land through which we've gone to search it is a land that eats up the inhabitants thereof." I mean, it's like big Venus flytraps that's going to eat us, okay? Scared to death. "And all the people that we saw in the land are of great stature. We can't do it. And there we saw giants, the sons of Anak, etc. And we're as what?" Say it with me. Grasshoppers. Are y'all listening so far? Don't let me lose you. Amen? So God judged them. God judged the older generation, said, "Because you don't believe me, you're not going into the land." Okay? "Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt," God speaking, "and in the wilderness, and you've tempted me now these 10 times and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear to their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it." So God was angry. "Doubtless you shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb." Guess who's going in? Somebody tell me. The how many? The 2. "And they also said that God was out to kill their little ones. And he also said, 'But your little ones, which you said should be a prey that I'm going to just have get eat up out here by the enemy, I'm going to bring them in. And they shall know the land which you have despised.'" Because you didn't have faith in me. You didn't trust me. "But as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in the wilderness. And your children shall wander in the wilderness." Say it with me. How long? 40 years, etc. So that's what we saw. So last time, they go through the Red Sea, and now they've been in the land for almost 40 years. We're coming to the end of Moses' life, okay? Now, Moses did a lot of things, man, during those 40 years. There was a time when a rebellion rose up against Moses, and a giant sinkhole opened, and swallowed Korah and people who had come against Moses. Crazy stories. God was with Moses this whole time, 40 years. There was another time they were always complaining. I mean, God provided food for them. He provided water for them. One time they were thirsting to death. They're complaining. What does Moses, God tells Moses to take that rod and do what to a rock? Hit it. And out of that rock came what? Water. It's crazy. One time Moses is going up to the Mount of God and going to meet with God, and he gets the 10 Commandments. So he goes up there, he has Joshua wait about halfway down the hill for him, keep watch, leaves Aaron in charge of the people. Moses is up there talking to God, getting the 10 Commandments. Aaron and the people, they made a golden calf, started dancing naked. I mean, that's why we call Moses the greatest leader of all time. I mean, you might have had problems, but did that ever happen to you? You know what I'm saying? So this is Moses. And now we're going to turn the story. It's Moses and God. It's at the end of his life. And Moses has been a faithful follower. But Moses does something that ticks God off. It doesn't matter what you've done for God. If you screw around with God, he'll knock you out. You listening? Say. He's not going to listen to but don't you remember I did this for you? No. He wants your obedience right to the end. You listening? Say. You try to act like God. You try to steal some of his glory. You try to get some of the limelight on you. You start to get cocky, become a hypocrite. God will take you down. I'm telling you. And that's what happened with Moses. A bad situation. It doesn't seem fair. How many know the story I'm about to tell? Doesn't seem fair. God's God and you're not. And I'm not. So we're going to look at what happened today and Moses passing down leadership. It's quite a story. Let's go with it. Here we go. Numbers 21 through 12. I'm just going to read it. You can get the gist. Here it is. Scripture. Then came the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, to the desert of Zin in the first month. And the people abode in Kadesh, and Miriam died there, his sister. She was buried there. Moses has been doing this thing for about 39 years now. And there was no water for the congregation. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. And the people chode. That means they were all over his case. With Moses, and they spoke unto him, saying, Would God that we had died when our brethren died before the Lord. Why have you brought us up the congregation of the Lord into this wilderness, that we and our cattle should die there? And wherefore have you made us to come out? You made us do this. Remember that? You're the one that made us come out of Egypt to bring us into this evil place. It is no place of seed or figs or vines or pomegranates. Neither is there any water to drink, fool! And Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly into the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. They fell upon their faces. And the glory of the Lord appeared to Moses and Aaron. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, Now watch it carefully. Take your rod, Moses. Got it? Y'all listening? Gather the assembly together, thou and Aaron, thy brother. Say this with me. And what? Speak ye unto the rock before their what? And it shall give forth water. And thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock, so thou shalt give the congregation and their beast drink. And Moses took the rod from before the Lord, as God had commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation before the rock. And he said unto them, say this with me, Hear now ye. Did God tell him to say that? He's giving him a tongue lashing. And then look at this. Must who? We fetch water out of this rock? So he gives him a tongue lashing, which they deserved it, but that's not what God told him to do. And then he says, must who? He didn't say, must God provide. Did he say? Who did he say? Must who? We provide for you sorry, no good people. And he lifted up his hand and his rod, and he did what? Smote the rock how many times? Did God tell him to strike it just once? No. God told him to do what? Speak to the rock. Did you hear me? God told him to speak to the rock. He hit it twice. He's angry. 39 years working with these crazy people. I can cut him some slack. God didn't. Look at it. But guess what happened? The water did what? Came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts, they're just drinking. Doesn't it look like hunky-dory? God's in it. It's a blessing. Look what God did. Don't it look like that? But the Lord spoke to Moses and to Aaron. Say that with me. Because you believed me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel. Therefore, you, Moses and Aaron, shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. Wow. Is God tough or what? Say. God said, speak to the rock. Why did he say speak to the rock? Before their eyes, so that he could be glorified. He wanted to see, it just wasn't about that rod. He wanted to just work through Moses' voice. And just wanted to let the people know, man, shoot, that guy, when he speaks, I just bless his word like that. And he wanted to show up big. And he wanted to be glorified. Instead, Moses gave him a tongue lashing. He didn't just hit the rock once, which we ain't supposed to do that. He hit it how many times? Twice. So let's look at what happened. God would not then let Moses lead the people into the promised land. That seems unfair, doesn't it? Let's be honest. That seems unfair, doesn't it? 39 years I worked with these crazy, stupid lunatics. And you're not going to let me lead the people into the land after I've done it. It does not seem fair, does it? Okay? Look at verse 12 again. And the Lord spoke unto Moses and Aaron and said, because you believe me not, and you didn't sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, you're not going into the land. Wow. I mean, if there's a guy who has a right to be mad at God, it seems like Moses had that right. You see what I'm saying? I'm just talking about from humanly speaking. I've worked for you my whole life. And you do that to me? These people are scum I'm working with. You've told them off to me before. You know? What's a big deal? It is a big deal. Keep looking. Why did God not let Moses into the promised land? Leaders, let me tell you something. Whether in your home, your leadership in church, or I don't care what it is, let me tell you something. You're a believer. Let me tell you something. God did not let Moses go in the promised land because he didn't believe in him. He didn't believe him. Somehow Moses, I guess, thought that speaking might not work. Okay? I don't know. But God said, you know what? Because you thought you had to use this old magic stick I gave you, and you didn't believe me, you're not going in the land. And the second thing he said is this. Second reason you're not going in the land is because you didn't honor me. And we need to realize that as leaders. We need to believe God. We need to believe God in our families. We need to believe God in what we're doing. Okay? We need to honor God with our life. That is part of leadership. So, what does that tell me? Several things. Can you say that with me? God is God and you are... Got another one. Keep looking. That's what I learned. What else did I learn? Say that with me. God is big on... He ain't big on me. But God, I gave him a speech. But God, I did this. Shut up. How about this one right there? God wants what? How much glory does God want? He wants you to have a little bit or does he want it all? Somebody tell me. He wants all the glory. It's his way or the what? We might not like that kind of preaching. Well, it's not very nice. A lot of people don't like the fact that Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. They think that's just terrible. But you know what? God's God. You a blip. I'm a blip. That's all we are. He's an awesome God. Now look, say that with me. God is what? Not bad. It looks like God's being bad here. What are you going to do as a husband, as a father, when things don't go your way? Excuse me, when crap just happens in your life. Excuse me. Okay? What are you going to do? When it's not your fault, and it looks like you're being picked on, are you going to turn on God? God's good, not bad. Is God bad in this story? Somebody tell me. God is not bad in this story. God says, without faith, it's impossible to please me. You'll never please God unless you believe in him. We just saw that with Moses, didn't we? Also, God wants all the glory, all the time, every day. He doesn't want you getting none. Okay? That's just the way God is. But he's not bad. Why? Look at several things. God delivering his people was whose plan? Was this Moses' idea to deliver all these people out of Egypt? Was it? I mean, just because he got all cocky at age 40 and wants to go kill somebody, does that mean it's his plan? Yes or no? No, this is God's plan. These weren't Moses' people, all these millions of people. Whose people were they? Somebody tell me. God's people. God's not being bad here. By the way, all those miracles, those weren't Moses' miracles. Those were whose miracles? God's miracles. See? He's not being bad. God's good. He's not being bad, but God ain't going to not be God, though. Amen? Sometimes we want God not to be God. He's God. He's sovereign. Regardless, you don't know everything. I don't know everything. But he tells me to trust him anyway and honor him regardless. Moses, he was a phenomenal leader. Moses was no doubt a phenomenal leader, the greatest leader, I think, humanly speaking, of any man who's ever lived. But Moses was a what? He was not a what? God. And Moses found out who's in charge. Amen? So what's Moses going to do? What's he going to do in this situation? A couple other thoughts. God will not share his what? God glory with anybody. Scares me to death. Don't praise me. I appreciate your kindness. Amen? But if you lived with me like she lives with me, you would know our pastor's a sinner. And you'd be shocked. I've got problems. How many in here really know I've got problems? Say, thank you. I got problems. I do. I have problems in my life. I got two kids. I love them with all my heart. But they don't always do just everything I wish they would do. And I've responded to them, and I've not always did everything they wish Dad would do either. You see what I'm saying? See, God doesn't want to share his God glory with anybody, and I sure don't want none of it. Because I'll be screwed up. Listen, God's the only one worthy to receive honor and glory. He's the only one. And also, he's the only one who can handle the God glory. Amen? How many of you have ever known somebody got a little glory, went to the head, and go, bang, off the cliff? Yes or no? Amen? Many of us have experienced that in our own life. And so this is what God's trying to teach us. Since this is God's plan, guess what? It will what? Without who? Well, Shazam. I guess you and I aren't that important after all. I mean, God wants to use us. But you know what? If you want to make this your last day coming to church, have at it. He'll find somebody else to do his will. Okay? You're not doing him a big favor by showing up today. Excuse me. You're doing what you ought to do. Amen? Believing in him, giving him glory. When you give some money in the offering plate, you're not doing God a big favor. He could cut you off just like that. And you'd have nothing. That's God. That's how. Do you see God like that? Wow. I thought it was me. I've done it all. I've made it. I've earned it. I've done it. And God's up there going, you are so stupid. You don't know how many times your butt was in a sling. And I'm the one that delivered you. You listening? So when we get arrogant with God and do it our way, man, he just don't like it. He didn't like it with Moses. If Moses ain't going to get by with it, you're not going to get by with it. I'm not going to get by with it. So let's see. God's actions towards Moses are not cruel. Be honest. Let's take a quick survey. Be honest with me on this survey. How many thinks his actions towards Moses was sort of cruel? Can I see your hands? There we go. That's being honest. I'm going to show you why his actions weren't cruel. What did he do? He actually takes Moses up to the top of Mount Pisgah. I've been there numerous times. Joy's been there with me many times. We've been right there on Mount Nebo in the country of Jordan and looked at the Promised Land. Right there. You're seeing it. To your left is the Dead Sea. That's what you're seeing. That's the top of the Dead Sea. To your right, you can't see it. And I can see it sort of over there, is Jericho. And so God took Moses up to this very spot that you're looking at right there, and he let him look into the Promised Land. Was God being cruel to him? My answer to you today is no. God's not a cruel God. God's a good God. Numbers 27, 12, and 13. The Lord said unto Moses, get you up to this Mount Abarim, or Pisgah, or Mount Nebo. See the land which I have given unto the children of Israel. And when you've seen it, thou also shalt be gathered unto the people, as Aaron your brother was just gathered. I mean, that's a hard word, ain't it? Once you look at it, you're toast. Is he being cruel? Deuteronomy tells us this. Moses went up, same story. Moses went up from the plains of Moab unto the mountain of Nebo, to the top of Pisgah, same exact spot. That's over against Jericho. It's right over there. And the Lord showed him all the land of Gilead unto Dan, to Naphtali and Ephraim and Manasseh and Judah and the uttermost sea and the south and the plain of the valley of Jericho and the palm trees unto Zoar. And the Lord said unto him, this is the land which I swear unto Abraham and Isaac and unto Jacob, saying, I'll give it unto your seed. I've caused thee to see it with thine eyes, but you ain't going in. Does that seem cruel or what? Say. I mean, we feel sad for her. She's almost crying for Moses. Let's flip the coin. Pop it up. Look what God did for Moses at this moment. Look at it. How would you like to live your life 39 years and never really know if the promise was true? God takes him on that mountain, and God's talking with him and says, Moses, look, do I keep my promises? Say it with me. Yes. I think that made him feel good. My life has been lived for something worthwhile. God, I think, says to Moses something like this. Does the promised land really exist, Moses? Here's the answer. Look at it. Look at it. Amen is right, brother. How about this? Has your labor, Moses, been in vain for me? Say it with me. No. No. Will Israel really possess the land? Will they really live over there one day? Over there? Yes. See, God's not a cruel God. Satan is so clever. We screw up. We do things that aren't right. We lack our faith in God. We then try to get the glory, or we dishonor Him. And somehow, we're made to believe that because of something we've done in the past should give us a pass with God. That's why you need a daily relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen? Say, what I did back 30 years ago ain't going to impress even me. Okay? You listening? It's a daily walk. Daily confessing our sins. Let me ask you this question. If you confess your sins today, will God forgive you your sins? Yes or no? Yes, He will. Keep that daily walk. Don't ever get to the place where you're just living on past experiences. See, God's a good God. He did a favor for Moses, letting him go up on that land. Passing the mantle, okay, is what we're talking about. We're trying to make it there. I'm running, ain't I? I couldn't help but, when we're putting this message together, think of these verses for you and me. In my Father's, was it cruel of Jesus to get the 12 disciples and get them all jazzed up and then leave them? Here's what He told him. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you can be also. Is there a promised land, church? Oh, yes, there is. And then Jesus said this. A lot of people think Jesus is unkind. I'm the way. I'm the truth. The life. No man, period. Nobody doing anything else other than believing in me will ever go into the promised land. Isn't that cruel of Him? Yes, it depends on how you look at it. I appreciate Him telling me that. Amen? Narrowing my options. Jesus or nothing. I like that. I thought that was being nice. Don't you? These scriptures also came to mind to me. Has my life been lived in vain? A Christian who's lived your whole life and you look back, has my life been lived in vain? Moses' life, was it in vain? But thanks be to God which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Say it with me. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord, Moses. So God's not a bad God, is He? Amen. I hope you know this. A lot of you struggle. A lot of you got problems. Is the answer to your problem to not believe God? Is the answer to your problem give in to the sin and the mess in your life and not glorify Him with your life? Is that the answer to your problem? That's a dead-end street. And God tells us about His choice servant and lets us see it. How can you make it through hard times? How did Moses make it through this horrific time? Here's the key. Can you say that top line with me there? Moses harbored no... Let's do a test. Come on, and be honest with me if you can. Have you ever been mad at God? Can I see your hand? I'm going to tell you something. He's fine whether you get over it or not. But you're not. You're not. Moses harbored no bitterness. 39 years working with the craziest people that's ever lived on the planet. I don't get to go in and see the land. He harbored no what? Let's look at it. We get a little cue from that on Numbers 12. Now Moses the man was the meekest man above all men that were on the face of the earth. Moses was a meek man. We saw that when Zipporah threw that stuff at him, didn't we? That was a rough message right there. If you weren't there, get it. He harbored no bitterness. Moses desired God's will to be done. Even regardless of this situation he went through, he came to his senses. He wasn't upset. He wasn't angry. He came to his senses and he wanted God's will to be accomplished. He says, "Your way is best, Lord. Look, you choose the man that's going to follow me." How often in leadership and pastors, here's what we do. We build a work and then we don't want to let somebody else take over. We work hard and build a work, a ministry, as if it's our ministry. Fellowship Church isn't Gary Church. Y'all listening, say, "He'd take me out just like that." My goal is that you go on, you serve, you live, you go for God. Amen? Something happens to me, you build that building, hell or high water. Amen? That's my goal. Praise the Lord. That's what I want. But so often, and it can happen to me as well, when somebody else comes along, it's time for me to step off the scene. We still try to hold on. We try to do it a different way, or blah, 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 blah. It's horrible in churches. Terrible. But Moses says, instead of him hand-picking the guy, he tells God, "You choose the man." I believe in my gut, the man that Moses wanted God to choose was who? Joshua. He always had Joshua close to him, always. But he didn't say it. Look what he says. "And Moses spoke to the Lord, said, 'Let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation, which may go out before them, and which may go in before them, which may lead them out, which may bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord be not as sheep having no shepherd.'" You choose, God. God's got his attention now, doesn't he? The big plan ain't Moses. The big plan is getting those people into the promised land. And he's got his attention now. "No more smiting, no rocks." "Yes, sir. You choose. You're the best." Well, that's a good tip in leadership. Don't harbor bitterness. He didn't. He remained open to the voice of God. So often when hard times come, we get mad at God. We can't hear God anymore. We're not even open to what He's saying. He might use somebody else's scripture, but we're so dogmatic that we're going to be mad and angry and ticked off and blah. We can't even hear Him. But because Moses didn't harbor bitterness, he could hear Him. "And the Lord said to Moses, 'Take you Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, lay your hand on him. Set him before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation and give him a charge in their sight. And thou shalt put some of your honor on him.'" People respect you, Moses. You're a great leader. When you do this, some of your honor is going to get on him. "That all the congregation of the children of Israel will be obedient to him. They will respect him because you're doing this." It had been easy for Moses to say, "Heck no, you didn't let me go in the land." But he didn't. He could still hear God. Moses was obedient to God. That's the third thing. Moses was obedient to God. Look at what he says. "And so Moses did as the Lord commanded him. He took Joshua, he set him before Eleazar the priest. He laid his hands upon him. He gave him a charge as the Lord had commanded him." So he was obedient regardless of his situation. So Moe's mantle. That's what we've been talking about today. Let's keep moving with the message. I'm almost done, I believe. I'm trying to get it out. So what did Moses do? God told him to make a charge. Put your glory on him. This is called passing leadership. It's a perfect example in Scripture of how we're supposed to do it. Moses went out and spoke these words to all of Israel. He said unto them, I am 120 years old. He didn't blame it on God, did he say? No. He blamed it on old age. I can no more go out and come in. Did you know that really wasn't true? He's making a charge. He's not going out saying how great he is and how much of a scumbag this guy following me is. It's what a lot of preachers do, unfortunately. I can't go out and come in as the Lord hath said unto me, thou shalt not go over this Jordan. So he told me I can't go in, all right? The Lord thy God, he's going to go before you. He's going to destroy the nations from before you. And thou shalt possess them. Say it with me. And who? Joshua. He shall go over before you as the Lord hath said. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, Moses is saying. Don't be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that does go before you. He will not fail you, Joshua. He will not forsake you. And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all of Israel, be strong, Joshua, and of a good courage. You must go with this people unto the land which the Lord has sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it, Joshua. And the Lord said, he it is that doth go before you. He will be with you, Joshua. He will not fail you, Joshua. He will not forsake you. Do not fear. Don't be dismayed. Is Moses a great leader or what? Can we just give it up for Moses more? I think he's up there. You know what I'm saying? Moses, therefore, not only did he do that, God gave him a song. And he wrote a song, and I believe sort of halfway sang it to Joshua. Therefore, Moses wrote this song the same day and taught the children of Israel. He gave Joshua the son of Nun a charge and said, be strong and of a good courage, for thou shalt bring the children of Israel into the land which I swear unto them, and I'll be with you, Joshua. Wow. Amen? We're coming to the end. Is Moses a great man or what? Amen? What do I do when I feel like God's disappointed me? I humble myself. Amen? Stay meek. Amen? Seek His will. Stay open to the voice of God. And if you hear it, do it. That's what I learned today out of this man. He's a great guy. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, just like God said. And God buried him in a valley in the land of Moab, over against Baal Peor. But no man knows of his sepulcher unto this day. And Moses was 100 and how old? And when he died, his eye was not what? Nor his natural force what? He's 120 years old. See a lot better than Clark sees today. And he was still in good shape and strong. But God said, not you. I got a general that's going to do a lot of fighting. Your time is over. It's time for this new guy. And Moses got on board with it, didn't he? What a great man of God. And we see several things. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass, the Lord spoke unto Joshua, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Arise, go over this Jordan, you, all this people, into the land which I will give unto them, even the children of Israel. Every place the sole of your foot shall tread, Joshua, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. Therefore shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of your life. Say that with me. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not fail you. I will not forsake you. And that's God's promise to you today. Did you know that? But if you want to get bitter over things in your life, things that have happened, you want to blame God. You want to not believe Him anymore. You want to not give Him glory anymore. Remember this today. He'll be fine. But you're going to be a wreck. Amen? That's what Moses teaches me. What did I learn today? Several statements. I've been put on this planet to do what? I learned that through this. Here's what else I learned. It's about God's plans, not my plans. That's what I learned. God will not break His word to accommodate me. I learned that this week in my office. He cares more about His word, more about His plan, than He does accommodating me. God is good, I learned this week, even when it looks like He's bad. Y'all listening? I learned that this week. You ever been in a situation in your life where it just looks like God's bad? I'm a child of God and you look bad to me. Well, I learned this week, looks are deceiving. Amen? I learned this week, bitterness is not an option for me, regardless of the situation I face. Can you say that with me? Bitterness is not an option for me, regardless of the situation that I face. I learned this week, obedience, even when I'm disappointed, is always what? Best for me. Even when it ain't going my way. I still need to do the right thing, right? And this is what I learned this week. Guess what? There's a promised land for me. I can see it. I ain't there yet. But He told me so. Amen? So be encouraged. Praise the Lord for His word this morning, can't we? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord.